Today, May the 16th, the Church celebrates World Communications Day. It's the only worldwide celebration called for by the Second Vatican Council, and it's celebrated in most countries on the Sunday before Pentecost. The announcement of the theme is made on September the 29th, the feast of the archangels Michael, Raphael and Gabriel, who is the patron of those who work in radio. The Pope's message for World Communications Day is traditionally published in conjunction with the memorial of St. Francis de Sales, patron of writers, in January. This is to allow bishops' conferences and diocesan offices sufficient time to prepare audiovisual and other materials for national and local celebrations. Every year, World Communications Day has a different theme. The theme chosen this year is the priest and the pastoral ministry in a digital world, new media at the service of the word. Philippa Hitchens spoke to Monsignor Paul Tai, Secretary of the Pontifical Council for Social Communications. First of all, she asked him, why choose this particular theme?
The choice of the theme was, I suppose, partly related to the fact that we are celebrating the year of the priest. It was also a logical development in the sense of our message of the previous year, which had spoken about the potential of new media to support the work of evangelization. So this year, although it's a letter addressed to priests, it's also a letter really that is focusing on the role of evangelization and new media in the church in general. But as I say, it's looking on the priest as somebody who has a particularly important role in that task of evangelization and saying to priests, think about new media and how they can enhance your ministry. It's not necessarily saying you have to go out there and become an expert in new media or you have to become an expert in new technology, but particularly you may find in your parish people who are very skilled in the new media who can use those new media to help you maybe to reach a bigger audience, to think about people who can't come to church, to develop maybe ways of communication that they can use to develop podcasts, working with your homilies, or in some cases we've seen very interesting little video collages done with homily materials and with celebrations and with musical celebrations in church that can then create a sense of connection on a broader platform. So what we're doing is, in a sense, inviting priests to think about how, sometimes with very little extra effort, it can add a huge new dimension to work they're already doing, to important work. Now, it's not that every priest is going to be producing homilies that will be automatically of significance to the whole world, but a group of priests working together over a season like Lent could work on a very good series of homilies that then can become maybe a series of podcasts on a diocesan website that could become shared with other places. And it's been interesting to see the reaction, particularly in the English-speaking world, that a number of the kind of magazines and reviews that are addressed to priests have taken up the theme. And what they've done is gathered examples from various priests saying, well, I've tried this, it did work or it didn't work, or I've tried the other and it did or didn't work, or I worked with my parish pastoral team and we developed the following things. So I think what it has done is heightened for priests an awareness of this important new world, of knowing that they shouldn't feel that they're strangers there, and of knowing that the help and support is available to help them to move into that world.
As far as you and your council here are concerned, it's not really an option anymore, is it, this kind of outreach into the digital world? It's more of a necessity.
It's absolutely a necessity. It's something that, in a sense, if you're thinking about the potential audiences you can reach, then to turn your back on this potential forum, this potential world, is short-sighted. A very clear one, I listened to a presentation recently by Helen Osman, who's the Director of Communications Department of the USCCB, the American Bishops' Conference. She said, I'm going to talk not so much as a director of communications, but as a mother of four children aged between 20 and 30. And she said their social life is built around their Facebook connections. I suppose in the States, where it's a very mobile society, that's... And she said, if the church isn't going to be present in their world of social connections, it's just not going to be present. Now, it's not that that's their only way of form of presence, but I think one of the things we'd be very conscious of, we can use the new media to knock on doors and to invite people into a different form of relationship. But even if we're not present, it's saying something already. Okay, we want to be present as effectively and as professionally as possible, but even at the beginning, it's just important to get something in there that gets us started and says we're aware of this world, we care about this world, and we want to be part of the dialogue that's emerging.
It has been a bit of a late start, if you like, in a way, hasn't it? Is the church really catching up, do you think, with this?
I don't think it's been that late. I think if you were to say as a centralised response, maybe it is a little late. But if you're to say from the beginning there have been huge initiatives taken by individual priests and religious and parish communities that have developed along the way. So you had things like the Sacred Space website of the Irish Jesuits that's now multilingual, that's been there from very early days on the web. You've had people podcasting from the very beginning. And I think maybe one of the things we're learning is this is a bottom-up world of communications. And maybe the mistake would have been to have had one master plan that was going to do everything and might have fallen flat on its face, which was the experience of many of the large commercial companies who put huge money into new media strategies that fell flat on their faces. What we're saying is, let the great things happen that are happening across the globe at various levels, depending on the competencies and the capacities of various conferences and individual priests. Let's step back and see what's working, what's not working, and learn from that. And we grow it from the bottom up, waiting to see what matures and what doesn't. So I think probably the church, in its broadest sense, has been there right from the beginning. And it may be better that at the more central level, we wait and respond and then develop an appropriate response that coordinates all these different efforts.
The tone of the Pope's message is very positive, isn't it?
Yeah.
And yet there are huge challenges inherent in these new medias, the need not to be exploited, the need to respond to interactive communications and so on. They must be a great concern to you too, though.
I mean, there are a range of concerns. I think what's been clear from the message this year and from the message the previous year is the Pope is saying, let's not be naive. He names some of the difficulties, but he's saying, let's focus on the positive. I think that's very often the way with the internet. You can try and think of, it's going to be there, it's developing, there are all sorts of problems there, there's all sorts of material there that none of us would like and that is damaging and harmful and disrespectful of people and the dignity of people in all sorts of ways. We could step back from it all and just lament it, or we can think about trying to fill it up with an alternative of offering people life-giving materials, offering people resources that strengthen them and strengthen them in their resolves to resist the less desirable material. So I think our choices is like any marketplace. We go in there, we try to be present. The church has never hesitated to be present in the world with all the ambiguities that involves. So I think that is one thing. I think it's very clear that the Pope is also saying to priests is, look, be there precisely as priests. Don't go in there just because you're technically interested in material. Don't become a kind of a techie just for the sake of being a techie, but to see it as a world that is available to you and where you can participate. So I think no more than in the message the previous year where the Pope was very clear that the most fundamental irony of all would be if the new technologies which are there to promote communication ended up blocking communications and becoming places where people just lose themselves and lose contacts with others, would be a real tragedy and an irony.
Being present in a very effective way in these new medias also requires the church to develop a new kind of language, doesn't it? A more accessible language.
Yeah, it's very clear that the language, if you visit many of the websites of diocese, and congratulations first to the diocese for taking these initiatives, but much of the content is textual. And some of it's very good textual commentary. So great homilies, great sermons, great speeches. But one of the problems is if you're thinking about somebody who's just browsing around, who's playing around, who's following links, who may stumble across your site, you need something more immediately grabbing if you're to get that person's attention. And I think that's one of the things we have to look at is the use of sound, the use of images, the combination of that with text in order to capture attention. And then maybe having got the attention, you invite the person into a deeper type of reality. And one of the things that's very clear is, I mean, we all know that as a church, we have a very precise theological language. We also have our own, what some people would call Vaticanese, which, you know, one learns to read, but it's not immediately obvious to all people, even all very favourably disposed people, how they can read certain of our documents. So I think one of the things we have to learn is we need to have that kind of entry-level language, a language that draws the person in. Doesn't mean we abandon all the other languages. One of the things I've been saying recently is that the church must be multilingual. We must speak the deep language of the liturgy. We can't abandon the precise language of theology, but equally we need a language that invites people in, that is more textual, that is textual, but is also more visual and more drawing on sound. And one analogy, I think people talk sometimes about this being a post-literate age. In the pre-literate age, we did very well. We used music, we used stained glass windows. It's not beyond our resources to come up with a form of language that draws people in. And that doesn't mean we abandon the other languages. Also, we have to recognise it, the experience of all of us. If you're learning a new language, you make mistakes. If you're not willing to make mistakes, then you don't learn the language. It's worth risking a few mistakes in the effort to communicate with a bigger and larger world.
Thanks to Philippa Hitchin, speaking there to Monsignor Paul Tai, Secretary of the Pontifical Council for Social Communications.